You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Yeah.
He is the great I am.
His
first friend was Abraham. Surely said to Abraham, I am that I am. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, good morning, Rhett.
Good morning, sir. Michael, how are you?
Oh, it's a good day today. The Blue Angels flew over us as we were coming to the studio today.
Yeah, they're in the air today. And I tell you what, they always bring a tear to my eye. I guess if you see them live, it's so loud. It's so close to the earth,
mm-hmm.
and you feel so protected, and you feel you just this allegiance and this whole USA patriotism thing. And then my first, as I had tears in my eyes, then immediately I prayed, what's it like to be somewhere where those are above you and they're bombing you? I immediately prayed for the children of Ukraine, the children of Iran, and the children of, actually Russia too. And what's the other one? Israel, you know, and Palestinians. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can't wait for the Prince of Peace to come and everybody will get to live, right?
Right, right, right.
Today we're going to be talking about...
Well, we
soil.
Well, we had a couple days ago, we talked about...
We're going to have a dirty show.
A dirty show here.
Talking about the dirt and the soil of good seed.
We're going to talk about Jesus' parable of the sower. What we've been talking a lot about... in these last weeks, Red, is just the idea of preparing ourselves for engaging our culture around us. We have been given the principles of truth. We've been given God's Word. We've been given His Holy Spirit. And all of those are for a purpose. Remember, we are His workmanship created anew in Christ Jesus so that we could do the good things He planned for us long ago. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10.
So he is actually an artisan of sorts.
Yeah, and he has artisaned us, basically, and given us a lot of talents, and he's given us relationships, and he's given us skills, and he's given us his words, and he's giving us an opportunity now to reach the world, or just the people in your neighborhood or in your community. But this is we're now partnering with the King to invite people into His family to spend eternity. The stakes are huge, Rhett, for this mission that we're on. And as we've talked about often in our Tuesday morning's men's group at the Rio Coco Cafe, what a risky undertaking to give this all-important mission to us men and women. I mean, you talk about taking a big risk, but he entrusts that to me and you.
Well, he can actually get it done without us as much
he
as
could. He could,
I
but
mean, you know,
he but. Could. But he desires that we participate with him. This is all about participating with him.
Relationship.
When we stand before the Lord and get the video replay of our life, the Bible says this is going to happen. And there will be rewards. I'm not sure what rewards and mm-hmm. what that means, or even if that's a motivation.
Mm-hmm.
But I know there's going to be a replay of my life, and I know Jesus is going to be standing right there beside me, and I'm going to see just like the highlights of the game, right? You see the fingertip catch of the football in the end zone and scoring the touchdown. And then you see the fumble on the snap, and the other side takes the ball and runs it all the way to the end zone. We see the fumbles, and we see the touchdowns. And the reality is that Jesus is going to be standing there right beside us, and I think he's going to say something like, look at what we did together.
You know, Reinhard Bunke had come in here many times, and he's the guy you see in Africa standing before the late Reinhard Bunke. What a delightful man. I know he went mm-hmm. to your church
mm-hmm. yeah.
when he came to town, and,
yeah.
and he would come in here, but he would speak in front of millions, and supposedly he had these cards filled out at one where they did brought in over a million people, signed their cards that they came believers in Jesus in 1 week. And he was on with Pat Robertson, of which I also had the pleasure of knowing when he was alive, and two great men of God. But I know that that Pat was impressed with the numbers, and so was Reinhard, and that was their generation. But now... I just want people to know that I really believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord revealed to me there's no such thing as 1 million. There's only a million ones. And as long as you're faithful, folks, to the one before you, you don't have to feed the whole world. But if there's somebody hungry around you, then yes, it is your obligation to feed them.
Well, this is
and promote right. Jesus. You bring one person to Jesus. It says the whole all of heaven rejoices.
Well, just in a normal church gathering, ask how many people have got saved at a big rally, at a big event, stadium event. How many people? You know, maybe 3 or 4% of the people in the audience will raise their hand. How many of you became followers of Jesus because your friend brought you to church? Then
the hands all go up. Or, you know, people that were faithful in telling you, bringing up his name, which is offensive. Because I remember I was at the ABC commissary in Hollywood, and this guy, I think, as I recall, he'd been gay, he'd been an actor, he got born again and stopped, and he's talking about Jesus. And over there is a cameraman from ABC going, "Hallelujah, amen, brother." I thought, oh, my God, I'm surrounded by these born-again wackos, these Jesus freaks. And then I did a jingle for the American Lung Association, and the president's having lunch with us at a big round table out at a restaurant. "Well, son, have you heard about Jesus?" "Oh, my God, a Jesus prayer." I wanted to crawl into it. I was embarrassed by his name. But those people were faithful in bringing his name in little bit by little bit by little bit. And then observing a friend of mine, who a bass player who had changed, I said, "Wow, over a year, he really has changed." And then led to one morning, me getting up on a Sunday morning, yelling at the ceiling, calling out to God. And finally, after declaring that I do believe he died and rose from the dead twice, but the second time I said, "Okay, I believe he died, rose from the dead, and I surrender my life." And then all of heaven opened up, and I was filled with the greatest joy. And you and I, being former pot smokers when we were kids, my first thought was, so this is why people do drugs, because this is the real McCoy. The drugs are the counterfeit. Right. I said, this is what people are seeking.
Right.
So, but it's because of people like you that were faithful in bringing up the name of Jesus.
Well, just look at the history of the Christian church. You know, we went from a group of 10,000 at the end of the first century to, according to Rodney Stark's research that he published in The Rise of Christianity, he says there's 33 million Christians by the middle of the fourth century, which comprised 53% of the Roman Empire population. How did we do it? There was no megaphone, you know, there was no social media, there was no big events. In fact, the only time Christians were brought into the stadiums were to be killed by the animals or the gladiators. But how did we do it? It was one-on-one, people inviting those into their home, serving them. And when the plagues came in 160 and 250 that killed about 35% of the populations of these Roman cities, it was the Christians that stuck around and cared for them, cleaned them, fed them.
I don't think we're going to feed you to the lions anymore. We kind of like you guys.
Exactly. You know, it was like, who do I really trust with my welfare? Who am I going to really listen to? And when Constantine became emperor and he saw the sign of the cross conquering this sign, and he won a battle that he shouldn't have won, now he's trying to really reorganize the Roman Empire and bring uncorrupted officials to run the departments. And who does he choose? He chooses Christians to come in and do that because he knows they can be trusted. So this movement that we're part of is a one-on-one movement. It's people that we meet, and we get an opportunity to, as Jesus says, be salt and light to them. Salt in biblical culture means loyal, faithful, unoffendable friends. And light is defined as our random acts of kindness where people see Jesus through us. That's the starting point of engaging the people. And so Jesus tells us how that's going to happen, and he tells us a little bit about the results. And then I think the record of the New Testament even further helps us with this parable. So Matthew chapter 13, if I may. Jesus spoke to many things to them in parable, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. So later on, the disciples are saying, okay, what's with the parable? Tell us about this. And Jesus gives the explanation in verse 18. He said, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. So that first soil is somebody that does not understand the word of the kingdom. Jesus goes on. The one on whom the seed was sown in rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So this is a person that has no firm root in him. He hears, but it never takes root. Okay? Then Jesus goes on, the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Okay, so these are people that are choked out by the deceitfulness and the allures and the anxiety of the world culture. Jesus goes on, and the one on whom the seed has sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears it, hears the word, he understands it, and indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So what I see from this is that the good soil requires understanding, deep personal roots, and freedom from the cares of the world. Now, when I first read this as a new believer, I thought, Jesus is telling us how things are when we go out and meet people, and we try to bring them the message of the kingdom, the gospel, and we talk about Jesus, it's going to fall on a roadside where our words aren't even going to penetrate their hearts. Or it's going to fall in a rocky place where, yeah, they may respond, but they'll just, it never takes roots. It never takes hold of their life. Or it's going to fall in a among people that are so consumed in the world affairs that they just don't have time for it. And even though they say, yeah, as the Doobie Brothers said, Jesus is just all right with me, okay?
And it was the Doobie Brothers,
It was, okay.
All those years I thought it was the birds.
No. Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon. Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you, there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to ever say. Word.